meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. If I sound a little bit hoarse tonight, it's because I'm suffering with the flu, but the show must go on. You'll recognize my next two guests as the authors, co-authors of the book, A Question of Murder, Compelling Cases from a Famed Forensic Pathologist, including the Anna Nicole Smith case and others. Dr. Cyril Wecht is here, and Donna Kaufman are here, and with the recent news in the Anna Nicole Smith case, I thought, what better two experts to bring on the program to talk about it, and we're going to focus that whole topic on the whole show tonight with other guests, too. But welcome back to the program, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Let's talk a little bit about, we'll start with Donna Kaufman. Let's talk a little bit about the book, A Question of Murder, because this whole Anna Nicole thing has spun around and the media have grabbed a hold of it, Donna, and, well, are speculating a little bit, and I guess maybe that's what the media does. Your thoughts?
Well, everything in our book is documented in double source. It is copiously researched, and all the links and sites are there so that a reader can say, gee, where did this come from, and go back and look at the original material. We were very careful about that. One of the things in the book, though, is Anna says, I was not into hard drugs. I only took pills. And I think that is why this case has led to arrest. We are told that prosecutors in California were aware of our book, and they also did 2 years of research before they made these arrests. So I think it is a clarion call to people who think that taking prescription pills are safe, and for doctors and pharmacies that hand them out like candy and in false names, as happened with Anna, they really have to reconsider the way they do business.
Dr. Wecht, this goes back to, well, most people remember Elvis Presley, and I hate to use the word because it's been so overused in the media, the enablers that that helped him get his prescriptions, and I think they call it polypharmacy or something like that, that eventually took his life. Let's compare this case to others in high-profile cases and prescription drugs, because I agree with Donna, a lot of these people don't think that, you know, unless it's heroin, it's not illegal.
Well, you're quite right, and your historical reference for purposes of comparison to Elvis Presley is your reference is right on target. His supplier was Dr. Nicopoulos, good old Dr. Nick, who was one of the permanent hangers-on, so to speak, there at Graceland. Anything that Elvis wanted, Dr. Nick prescribed. He's a licensed physician in the state of Tennessee, and part of that tight coterie. And, you know, with Elvis, he could get up 3 o'clock in the morning and let's play handball. I want to go to the dentist at 11 o'clock at night. You need an upper, you need a downer. You're getting ready for a performance. You're during the performance, after the performance. You know, who knows what he wanted. And so now you're into amphetamines and other stimulants. Then you're into the antidepressants and anxiolytics, the anti-anxiety drugs, the tranquilizers, the sedatives, the analgesics. Elvis Presley had 12 central nervous system drugs in his system, which caused his death. In that case, and we're not here, I mean, I don't want to spend all the time talking about how the medical examiner finessed it quite unethically and improperly, ruling first that it was not a medical examiner case, having the autopsy done privately, going to the hospital and announcing to the world before the autopsy was even finished, let alone before toxicological analyses were back, and microscopic studies of tissues had been performed, telling the world Elvis Presley had died as a result of heart disease. He did not die from heart disease.
No.
And I thank you for that reference. It strengthens the point that Don had made, and that obviously you wish to point out to your audience, that people, whatever it may be, and from whom the drugs may come, the point is that people do not know that different drugs, seemingly for a variety of maladies, most of them on the market today are going to have as one component some pharmacological agent that is a central nervous system depressant. That's just the way it works.
Right.
And so physicians don't take this into consideration. The dermatologist doesn't think about the gynecologist and the orthopod who are taking care of respective problems, etc. And so on. And then you have other people who get the drugs, either a physician or sometimes someone who knows a physician. And it's very easy for a celebrity. You know, celebrities, you know, no problem for Elvis Presley and Nicole Smith, Heath Ledger, anything you want. And if you look at the other drug deaths, John Belushi and many others, and you'll find that they died not from one drug, but usually from 4, 6, 8, 10. And Nicole had more than half a dozen, Elvis Presley a dozen, Daniel Smith, her son, 3, Heath Ledger, I don't know, I wasn't involved in that case, but I heard that there were about 4 or 6 drugs there, and so on. So that's the situation.
And most of these drugs do not respond well with each other. In other words, if you're on one kind of mood leveler, you're not supposed to be doing another kind at the same time. A doctor should be well aware of that. Anna's final 5 months, there's evidence to suggest she was prescribed more than 8,000 pills.
You know, and that's the part that's so difficult to comprehend for most of us that follow these types of cases, Donna. You know, Elvis Presley, 1977, Anna Nicole Smith, 2008. There should be better guidelines when it comes to this, but you just have to wonder, Donna Kaufman, co-author of A Question of Murder, compelling cases from a famed forensic pathologist, including who we're talking about tonight, Anna Nicole Smith and her son, that there should be better guidelines. And it looks like the Attorney General in California, Jerry Brown, is starting
You have some problems. Number one, the person himself, herself, is a drug abuser, okay? I mean, they are adults.
Absolutely.
And number two, they're the cash cow. you don't tell the cash cow what to do.
Exactly.
Unless you've got a very strong personality or someone. But it's not easy to control these people, obviously. And number three, then, as we've been talking, and Donna pointed out initially, these are prescribed drugs. We're not talking about heroin. We're not talking about drugs that are not on the market. We're talking about drugs that people can use legitimately. So therefore, when these drugs are there, and even when they're found, you may have a difficult time in tracing them back to somebody. With Anna Nicole Smith, the process appears to have been facilitated for the Attorney General of California by virtue of the fact that she was in the Bahamas.
Yep.
Prescriptions were being mailed to her, and prescriptions were being mailed to her under a fictitious name. What is it, Donna? Michelle?
A series of fictitious names.
Michelle what?
Michelle Chase was
Chase,
one of
yeah, right.
many.
And some to Howard Stern, and I think members of Howard Stern's
father,
family.
Dr.
And so on. So you know, you've got a clearer picture. But I can tell you that there are very, very few cases. And if you eliminate celebrities, I would say they are rare, where authorities go after doctors who are prescribing drugs for people. Now, where the doctors sell the drugs at increased prices without having these people as their patients, that's another matter. But if Mrs. X or Mr. Y is your patient, and you see the patient, and you prescribe the drugs, then it's going to be very hard to nail them. So I just want to say it's easier said than done, as the saying goes.
Donna Kaufman, the media has obviously grabbed hold of this now. I'm going to ask Dr. Wecht a question later about his appearance on Geraldo last weekend. But the media now has this story, and they're going to spin it every direction that they can. I've covered it on my program as much as I possibly can. In fact, I even got a nasty letter from Howard K. Stern's lawyer one time about a guest I had on my program. So even they're listening to us here. But really, the big picture, Donna, is... a mother, Anna Nicole, her son, a young person, they're both dead. The tragedy of that, the tragedy of the prescription drugs, the overprescribing, whatever you want to call it. Why is the media handling this the way they are right now with a target between Howard K. Stern's eyes and these two doctors?
Well, I think it's simply a matter of Anna Nicole's life is a Shakespearean tragedy set in Dogpatch, USA. And Larry Burkhead is Little Abner, Anna is Daisy May, and it remains to be seen whether Howard K. Stern is Iago. But, you know, everybody loves this soap opera, and unfortunately it is real people, and my gosh, there's a baby who doesn't have a mother now, and a young boy of 20 who died in very similar circumstances. And let me just say, another aspect that's covered in our book is how close these doctors, especially Dr. Chris Aroshevitz, was to her patient. Was that a good thing? Did it allow her to monitor Anna's care more? Which is what Dr. Chris will say, is that, she prescribed all these pills, but she didn't take them all. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find that out. Perhaps the Attorney General knows that as we get closer into the trial, we will determine how much she took what the nature of the relationship was, but it's also true of Howard K. Stern. He was her attorney. He had one client. He was an attorney with one client. Did he serve her best interests? Or did he have something else motivating him? He was on ET the other day saying that her estate could be worth $100 million from the Marshall case. Well, excuse me, it could be worth $500 million. Let's be clear on this, Howard. Let's not minimize what a potential gold mine there is, and her name and likeness are going to be worth pots of gold for many years to come for whomever controls her estate. A lot of people, like Elvis, Anna Nicole, Marilyn Monroe, are worth more dead than alive.
That's true.
So you have all these kinds of things working, and really it will take an investigation by the authorities to dig in there and see what possible motivations there were. She did have people close to her. Larry Burkhead, when she was pregnant, said, you've got to get off the drugs. Mm-hmm. He had already had a miscarriage when they had tried to have a child previously. Her way of handling it was to move to the Bahamas and blow him off, the father of her baby. She refused to have anything to do with him. Same with her mother, who was arguing from way back that she was out of control. Her mother sat with her when she went through rehab before, and she wasn't allowing any influence by her mother, who was a 28-year deputy sheriff. She knew drug addiction when she saw it. So, you know, you have to put a lot of the blame on Anna and wonder about the people closest to her.
Absolutely. Dr. Wecht.
Well, you know, I just wanted, for the record, and Don and I are always very candid with each other, and while I certainly agree with the part of her comment that indicated more investigation is to be undertaken, and so on, I just want to say for the record that I do not believe that Howard Stern set out to kill Daniel Smith or Anna and Nicole Smith. I just want to say that for the record. I also want to candidly disagree with Donna when she now projects Anna Nicole's mother as some kind of a loving maternal figure. That's not my understanding. Donna may know more about it than I, but I have read, over the months since then, and all kinds of newspapers, and I don't see what's her name, Virgie, whatever her name is.
Virgie Arthur,
kind of, yeah.
Loving mother. I just want to say, you know, so it's okay. Friends can disagree.
Yeah.
And I think Don and I do have some degree of disagreement. Was Howard Stern negligent? Was he stupid? Should he have known better as a lawyer? And so on. Was he unethical? Did he commit technical breaches of the law in what he did? Those are questions which, yes, can be answered affirmatively, and may and some already have been answered affirmatively, and others we'll see what happens in the courtroom. But this business has been shown, and I don't watch much television, but I heard what I heard on Geraldo.
Yep.
A few nights ago and so on, that the people, well, I think Geraldo called him a murderer or said the guy who caused, I forget the words,
mm-hmm.
but he started off the program. And he and that thick, pouty-lipped
Kimberly Guilfoyle, who
just, I mean, is trying to outdo Nancy Disgrace as Tom Mesereau, a top attorney, who was on a program with me. I was on with him yesterday in Las Vegas.
Right.
Referred to her, Nancy Disgrace. I love that.
Yep.
And so on. So I just want to say for the record, you know, all these things are fine, but to say that Dr. Nicopoulos intended to kill Elvis Presley, or that Howard K. Stern intended to, and Donna also, I think, is maybe making an error, and she talks about all of this money and so on and so forth. It's not my understanding that Howard K. Stern controls the estate so that the proceeds that come in from whatever it is on Anna Nicole Smith will flow to him. That's not my understanding of the legal situation that exists with Larry Birkhead as the father of Danny O'Lynn.
Yeah, I think
he has a controlling interest. He established this estate and handpicked the people who are administering it.
That can be broken at any time.
Right, and you know that whole situation with the child and the trust money is a big part of this. But Dr. Weck, I want to follow up a little bit more, and I'm going to use paraphrase a little bit what you said on Geraldo the other night. Is you don't kill your cash cow, and I couldn't agree with you more. There's some stupidity. Will the courts decide if there's negligence? Maybe, but I felt that you and your colleague Dr. Bodden were both bushwhacked by Geraldo and Kimberly Guilfoyle. To try and get you to admit to things that you just can't ethically do or say.
Michael Bodden did not seem to have any problem in going along with the thrust of the program. I, with all due respect to you, I would disagree that he was bushwhacked. My what I saw, what I heard was that he went right along. And. And also, he said something, he talked about this segmental hair analysis. Here's something for you. You find out on a program, okay, how many segmental hair analyses were done by him and ordered through the New York State Police, for whom he works as a consultant. Find out how many were done by the New York City Medical Examiner's Office, the biggest and one of the best and most technologically sophisticated labs in the country. Find out how many segmental hair analyses were done last year, and I'll tell you what: if there were over a dozen, you're my guest for the best dinner you name the city, and I pick up the tab. Okay,
all right.
So you know, no, it was a lot of hyperbole, believe me.
No, I want to clarify this. I said you and Dr. Bodden were bushwhacked. I meant you and Dr. Perper were.
We're
bushwhacked, in my opinion. Michael Bodden is a consultant for Fox News.
You know, let me just say too, for the record, you know, I mean, the Perper and I are not personal friends. He worked for me, and we had a falling out, and so on. So, you know, I'm certainly not rushing to his defense because of some professional friendship. But my God, the way they treated him,
yep.
and and vilified him, and just you remember back at that time, he was the big hero, right?
Right.
I mean, everybody in television land wanted him on their program and so on and so forth. And now, because he did not do then a segmental hair analysis, now he's a nincompoop. And that's just not fair.
Absolutely, it's not fair. Donna Kaufman, when we go back to, and I'm not going to continue focusing on Geraldo, but I do have one more question. Again, the media, all of a sudden here we see the judge, Seidlin, sitting with Geraldo.
Boy.
How crazy was that?
He has a publicist now, and that's what happens when you have a publicist, and he is trying to get a television show, a Judge Judy type of show.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet. He got a lot of offers, but our book really goes into a lot of detail about his background and why he's not practicing as a judge anymore in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps TV is a better place for him to be than a judge.
You know, again, for the record, my God, Geraldo, have him on the program and judge in your honor, and to treat him in such an obsequious and solicitous fashion. This is a guy who's a disgrace.
Yeah.
The way he handled that, kept that body around for several days, and as Don is auditioning now, he was auditioning then for a television program. That's what it was all about, an audition.
For
Geraldo to have had him as his premier guest, and they're sitting in New York City, that's a disgrace. And I'm so disappointed in Geraldo. I can't believe it. He's a lawyer, and a lot of people don't know that Geraldo has a law degree. I don't know if he ever practiced law, but he's a lawyer, and for him then to slavishly bow to Seidlin in order to get a point across in blasting Perper and shooting Howard K. Stern between the eyes. My God, that's deplorable.
Yeah. No,
Seidlin had a job to do, which was to determine where Anna was to be buried, whether it was going to be Florida where she died, Texas where her mother was, or the Bahamas, where Howard and Larry joined up forces, even though they were feuding at the time over the paternity issue. And he had all these people testify and decided that he was going to try to settle the paternity at the same time. Of course, he had no authority over that and ended up admitting that after a week of
television. Exactly. That was not his business at all.
The funny thing he did when he did cite the law and say that the body should go to the Bahamas, he did, or one of his clerks found, a very similar point of law that he used as a cite to make that decision. And he also established a guardian ad litem for the child. So, that was a circus, and, you know, we all love our circuses.
Well, all along doing that, trying to get a show on whatever cable channel or whatever network picks them up. Dr. Wecht, final question for you, and I really appreciate you both coming on. This story is far from over. Who knows where these felony charges will go? There's a black eye, I guess, or a black mark on some that are involved either as talking heads with this case, or do you think forensically, or as someone being involved in the system as long as you have been, that someone like Howard K. Stern or the doctors will be able to get any sort of a fair trial the way that they're going to be vilified? This started, and it's only going to get worse.
Well, sure, that's always the question when you have this kind of publicity. And by the way, a lot of criticism of Jerry Brown's presentation. That is not for a prosecutor to do, to go on and make a whole speech like that. You lay out the charges in a factual way, and again, for someone who's been a governor and now an attorney general, my God, you know, this showboating.
And wants to be a future governor.
just really punished for that. Do I think the fair trial? I don't know. It's going to be difficult. And, you know, and I'm not defending them for what they did. Please don't misunderstand either. I don't want anybody of your listeners to think that I'm rushing to their defense. What they did, Irashevich and Kapoor,
right,
and Howard K. Stern, and pursue it within the parameters of the law and the statutes which are applicable, but do not and make a show of it, and do not try to resurrect Anna Nicole Smith and use her as a vehicle for your own political aspirations or for your own emotional, personal beliefs or so on, or whatever the reason may be. That's not what justice is all about or should be about.
Now you're so correct with that. The book is A Question of Murder, Compelling Cases from a Famed Forensic Pathologist, including who we've been talking about, Anna Nicole Smith, Dr. Cyril Wecht, and Donna Kaufman. Thank you for joining me.
Yes.
Thank you for having us. I hope we'll be with you again.
To go to findlawoneword.com and input Anna Nicole Smith, and you will see the 18-page document that Jerry Brown and the prosecutors cited, and all the charges are laid out there. Be your own judge.
Okay, thank you again.
And other things, too. By the way, the chapter on Memorial Hospital, Dr. Poe, the first and only time that you'll find toxicological analyses on the patients who conveniently died at Memorial Hospital when they were waiting to be evacuated, it's in our book. Donna Kaufman did a fantastic job in putting all of this together with me, and delighted to have worked with her. And I thank you, sir, for having the two of us.
And Dr. Wecht is a hero there, and people really need to find out about this case. It is a miscarriage of justice if there ever was one.
We will talk again soon. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're going to continue on into our investigation into Howard K. Stern and the recent felony charges against him and the two doctors. And we're going to go from Dr. Wecht and Donna Kaufman to Don Clark. You'll know Don Clark as a retired FBI bureau chief and someone working investigating the case, representing Virgie Arthur's attorney. So we're going to probably get a little bit of anti-Howard Stern rhetoric here, and that's coming up on the Dana Pretzer Show. I'm informed that we're having some technical difficulties. I'm hoping you're hearing the guests all right. I'm not aware of the technical difficulties, but we will try and get them correct as soon as we can. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. Once again, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, we're back. You'll know my next guest, Don Clark, as a retired FBI bureau chief. He's a private investigator and someone who is quite knowledgeable regarding the case of Anna Nicole Smith, the death of her, the death of her son. And he's always a welcome guest to the program. Hi, Don. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm glad to be with you.
Boy, did this thing break open. You know, nobody thought that the case was over by any means. We know of the felony charges against Howard K. Stern and his doctors. Some say that the case is not over yet, that there are more to come. What can you tell us?
Well, you know, that's exactly what I'm hearing, is that there is more to come. And I suspect, just from my own experience and not having any insight into what they are doing over there, but once you indict someone, and of course in this case it was just a complaint simply because it's in California, and California doesn't have the grand jury system like we do here in Texas and New York and other places.
Right.
But once that complaint is served, then they're going to continue their investigation. Now, I'm sure, Dana, that perhaps you and I'm sure your listeners may have had a glimpse at the charges that were placed out. You know, there's 11 counts in that charge that was placed out, and these items are pretty specific. So it tells me that there's been a long, tedious investigation to pull these charges together.
Oh, no. No one can think that this just came out of thin air. These types of the cases go back. You know, we can think of celebrities and their untimely deaths. My previous guest and I were just talking about Elvis, you know, going back to the early 70s, the enablers that helped him get all the medications that he ultimately died from. And, you know, other celebrities, too. But that's 1977. This is 2009, Anna Nicole, the tragedy of her death, the death of her son, and how the media took it, ran with it, and now it's fired all up again. But there's still the big picture of why this happened, Don, and I'm curious about your thoughts, you know, as a former law enforcement officer and one who's very familiar with this case, is that, it's not over till the fat lady sings, and I'm not trying to be rude here. There's still a lot more that I'm sure we don't know about.
Absolutely. Clearly, there's a lot more that we don't know about it, but I think this is a gallant step by the Attorney General to take on the proliferation of all of these drugs and activities. Dana, we moved in our part of society that if you were a cocaine or heroin addict, mm-hmm. you know, everybody cursed you and wanted you put away somewhere. But if you had the ability to obtain subscriptions, then you could get as much stuff as you wanted to in some cases, and nobody looked down on you as a drug addict. And I think that the Attorney General was absolutely right, because that has just moved too far in mm-hmm. our society. And it's not just celebrities, but clearly, oh, yeah. As you mentioned, even back some years ago during the Elvis days, and certainly we know for sure in this time, that there are celebrities and other people who are using drugs, and they don't perceive it, or they don't look at it as, I'm not a drug addict, I'm not a junkie, no. I'm not a bad person, I've got prescription drugs. Well, these things have rules and laws that govern who should get them, how they should get them, and in what portions that they should get them. And we can see from this complaint that absolutely all of that went out the window.
You know, ethics is a big thing, both when it comes to the media, law enforcement investigating, being a defense lawyer, say what you want. You know, even yours truly, Don, received a nasty letter from Howard K. Stern's lawyer about a program that I did about him. And it all became an issue about Howard K. Stern or Larry Burkhead, the baby, Danny Lynn, but here we have two young people, relatively young Anna Nicole, her young son who died, a mother, Virgie Arthur, who, you know, says that she tried to intervene and stop things, thousands of prescriptions allegedly going her way, and that whole big picture all of a sudden gets skewed when people start talking about, you know, we're going to sue you for this or we're going to sue you for that, but there's that whole sadness of the story.
Well, I hear exactly what you say, because I know myself and my comrades have been all threatened to be sued if you say this or if you do that. But the reality is, in this case, and this is the thing why I think that Governor Brown, Attorney General Brown, was so smart to really take a look at drugs, not just this particular case, but clearly this particular case had to be a center point, a focal point. Let's just think about it for a second, Dana. You've got Daniel, who dies on the 9th of September in 2006. And about 4 months later, what happens? Anna dies. Right. Now, Daniel, there has been, to this point that I am aware of, and I think I've looked at a lot of this information here, but there has been no one that, that's legitimately accused and was convinced about Daniel using drugs. He didn't do drugs. He was upset at his mom for taking these prescription drugs. He knew about it. And then a few months later, his mom died. And then there's all kind of information that's been floating out there as to how these drugs were getting to Anna and how she was using these drugs. And it was all of a sudden just kind of overlooked. No law enforcement agency really took a significant view at how Anna died. They really didn't take a detailed view as to how Daniel died. And the reality is, if you hear it now, yes, it was about these drugs, but what did we call it, or what did the authorities call it? An accident.
Accident, yeah. Well, now you see Dr. Perper being vilified in the media. I don't think the media vilifying him, there should be some sort of a regulatory body or maybe the Attorney General's Department in Florida that can review his review, that this story needs to be investigated a whole lot further. What are you hearing from law enforcement about that?
Well, I haven't heard anything from the law enforcement community in Florida as to what's going to take place, but I got to believe that Florida has to open its eyes and see that, wait a second, this happened on our territory. I mean, I don't know how they cannot go back and revisit the activities in the medical examiner there, Dr. Perper, in his laboratory there. There he was using a top advisor. And who was the top advisor that he was using? Dr. Rosevich. the one of the persons who's charged with these violations here. So what's with that? I mean, I have to tell you, if I had done that, if I was running an FBI organization and I'm using a person that's now been indicted, something like that, I got to believe that there would be an internal investigation to say, what the heck were you doing, Don?
Yeah, there certainly wasn't a lot of thought process put into that. But, you know, I saw you the other night on Geraldo, and Cyril Wecht was a guest just before you came on, and we both kind of raised our eyebrows when it came to Judge Seidel. Sitting on these panel shows and talking. I hear that he's no longer practicing as a judge, but some of the comments I'm hearing is he's auditioning for his own show, and one has to wonder where this is coming from. Your thoughts on Judge Seidel?
Well, I've heard those same rumors before, and I don't want to get personal about Judge Seidel, but I will tell you, I was there for the entire period of time of what happened in Florida. And what happened in Florida was just atrocious.
Yeah.
It was just atrocious, no matter whether the judge was meaning to do the right thing or was hoping that he was doing the right thing. The inability to sit in that courtroom and not really hear the evidence and make a decision and the right decision was very apparent. And that's what didn't happen, was somebody to really look at the evidence. It was almost like as if the grandmother in this case did not exist. I mean, I still to this day cannot imagine that judge would award that baby to somebody who there's no father. There's no one around her that can say that I'm responsible for this kid, except Howard Stern, and said, well, I'm not going to take any type of blood test or anything of that nature to determine it. Now, you know, it just didn't fit the pieces. Any reasonable person would say no. Something is wrong with here.
Again, going back to the Geraldo interview, when I heard the Judge Seidel talking about Virgie Arthur, I was thinking in the back of my head, in fact, I made notes, I wonder what Don thinks about this, because what we saw in the coverage and what he said on Geraldo, I think, are two different things. And I want to ask you about Virgie. You know, there's never really closure when you have a child who's as high profile as Anna. You lose not only your daughter, but your grandson. It just now is wide open again, and it's going to get spun every different way that it could be. How's she doing?
Well, I know she will be very thoughtful that you asked that question. I think Virgie is doing as well as a mother and a grandmother can be doing. She does have her up and down days, but who wouldn't have their up and down days? I mean, here's a lady that has gone through the loss of two people close to her, and she has a granddaughter that she's never had the opportunity to touch.
Right.
Now, I will tell you, Virgie is a good person, and she loves kids. She wasn't an abuser. She's not an abuser. She's just a good person. She semi-adopts, when I say semi-adopts, kids in the neighborhood and from places that she's helping to raise right now. That's the type of person that she is. And you know, Dana, she really, really had a feeling that something wrong was bad going to happen to Anna. And that was one of the reasons that people said, well, she was on television because she was trying to alert her daughter that you better be careful. She really loved her daughter no matter what Anna did. And she loved her grandson. And within a few months there, she's got both of them that's gone, and yet she can't even get an opportunity to touch her granddaughter. I think she's doing remarkably well considering those set of circumstances.
Is this still an open investigation as far as your aspect as an investigator, Don? You know, you work for the attorney for Virgie Arthur. What are you guys doing?
Well, you know, we do have a lawsuit that's ongoing in the firm, and it's a lawsuit that's Virgie Arthur versus Howard Stern, because they really have made an attempt, and I have an opinion, and the courts will hopefully bear us out, of smearing Virgie's name and saying that she was a public figure, so you can say anything bad about her that you want to. So that lawsuit is ongoing at the moment. Other than that, to my knowledge, there are not any other lawsuits that's still pending out there. And the only other thing that I'm aware of is this criminal investigation. And, you know, we'll just have to bide our time and see where that goes. I think that's a significant event, though, in the course of everything that's took place, that's taken place since I've been involved on February 15th of 2007.
Well, the old saying is, it's never over till the fat lady sings. And I don't think she's even up to the microphone yet, that there's going to be a lot more to this. Don Clark, thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Good to talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye. That's retired FBI Bureau Chief Don Clark, and of course he works for Virgie Arthur's attorney. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Robin Sachs and our weekly feature, Nothing But the Sachs. I like that title, where we'll talk about Howard K. Stern, Anna Nicole Smith, Michael Bodden, and everything else high profile in the news. My name is Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back.
And now, more of the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. Here's Dana.
Okay, we're back, and this is a new feature we call Nothing But the Sachs. I love this. Of course, you'll know my next guest, Robin Sachs, is an ADA out of Los Angeles County. And what we'll do each program, besides hearing beeps like that, is have Robin come on and talk about some of the high-profile cases in the news in the past week, and we've got lots to talk about tonight. Robin, how are you?
Good evening, Dana. Nothing But the Sachs. I love it.
I love that, too. Tonight, I'm not sure if you've been able to listen to the program while it's been going on, but we've been focusing on Howard K. Stern and, of course, Anna Nicole Smith. Cyril Wecht was on. He did the second autopsy on Daniel Smith. Don Clark was on, and he represents or works for the lawyer that represents Virgie Arthur. Howard Stern, when I had Rita Cosby on the show, didn't like that and sent me a nasty letter, at least his lawyer Lynn Wood did. And this story seems to go on and on and on, and here we are now. I kind of compared it to Elvis a little bit. 1977, Elvis has all sorts of enablers getting him drugs, and he ends up dying from kind of a polypharmacy cocktail of you name it. And here we have these celebrities that think that because it's prescribed, it's not illegal, but here we go again. Howard K. Stern's facing some felony charges. Your thoughts?
Howard K. Stern is, and as you know, my office is actually handling that case, so I can't talk about the details of the case, even if I knew the details other than what's been already announced in the press releases. But I'll tell you one thing that I find really interesting in terms of our view of this case, is that one thing that people say is, you know, why is this case coming out now? And why, you know, why are we hearing about this so long after? And I think you bring up a great point. I think that we don't, as a society, take a strong, hard line on prescriptive drugs. We tend to look at the illicit drugs as being really a problem. But frankly, when you have enablers out there and you have people who are giving people deadly combinations, I mean, look at Heath Ledger out there.
Yep.
And other cases, it's got dire consequences in their families and children involved. And I think that we have to really look at not just the people who have the problem, just as we do in any drug court situation, but we also have to look at the people who are providing, who are basically, you know, our sellers, and in this case, our doctors and prescribers.
Exactly, and it's such a big case now. Bravo to Jerry Brown for bringing it forward. Although some, even on my program tonight, criticized him, saying that he was grandstanding a little bit. But that's besides the point. You're going to get that no matter what. But I'm going to take you back, and I'm not sure if you saw it, Robin, last weekend's Geraldo program. Geez, Geraldo's going to hate me after tonight, but that's okay. I think he does anyway. There you have Judge Larry Seidlin. We know Judge Seidlin as the crying judge. From the hearing where the determination where to bury Anna Nicole, is sitting on a panel with Geraldo talking about Howard K. Stern, more or less calling him a murderer, berating the pathologist Perper in Florida. Michael Bodden is there. Michael Bodden slips a little nugget about the Anthony case right into this whole thing. Whether it was accurate or not, I don't know. Other forensic pathologists like Sarah Wecht, who was on the program tonight, just went nuts saying, what is the matter with these guys? They're all crazy. They're doing what they shouldn't be doing. Instead of doing nothing but the sacks, they're speculating. They're trying to solve the case in a 15-minute soundbite. And here you got a judge who is doing nothing more than auditioning for his own TV show. In my opinion, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that I have to be very careful what I say when it comes to people out there voicing their opinions in sound bites. I agree, you know, I'd like to look at yourself and myself and say, listen, we're all about the facts and the facts, of course, and we are, and we want to make sure that we do our due diligence and not jump to conclusions. I absolutely don't disagree with you on the philosophy that that's very, very important. But I think there's a problem also with perception in terms of the how people view anybody who is on television, because the people who don't like Nancy Grace and the people who don't like me and the people who don't like you will also say that we're grandstanding.
Yep.
And so we have to be very careful. I try to be very fair in looking at a situation from both points of view and say, listen, we are all publicizing, you know, and anyone can look into my bank account and make anything off of this, although it would be nice to one day do that. I think you and I both would agree.
Yes.
But, I mean, we make our life out of doing what's right, and if they're making careers out of doing what's right, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah, isn't that true? Michael Bodden says, and I'm paraphrasing here, talking about analyzing hair, and they were talking about why Anna Nicole's hair wasn't analyzed, and he made a slip, I think, or maybe he didn't really even know what he was saying, about Kaylee Anthony and chloroform being found in her hair, and now all hell has broken loose over that. You, as a prosecutor, hear something like that. It's evidence. Maybe it's evidence that hasn't been released to the public yet, but all of a sudden now you have a pathologist as a commentator on a program whose wife is a defense attorney saying things like that. I'm sure there were a lot of white knuckles and hairs being pulled out after that comment.
Oh, yeah, I'm surprised that we haven't seen the latest twist in the Anthony case, and that being the Bodden divorce case, because I'll tell you, if it was my husband and that slip came out, I would have been completely pissed off, because that is that's not a minor snafu.
No.
Now there's just a soundbite out there that's going to have, you know, whether or not it's ever brought up on the stands or whether or not the theory ever comes out, you have the real issue of whether or not that little tiny soundbite all of a sudden links the chloroform, and or is that a preview of what's yet to come?
You know, in defense of Michael Bodden a little bit, and Cyril Weck didn't defend him at all tonight. He just thought that Michael Bodden was doing nothing but catering to Geraldo, is that Geraldo was bullying him with question after question after question after question, and then he's just trying to answer them. But anyway, that's besides the point. Speaking of the Anthony case, we see all sorts of provocative pictures of Casey Anthony. I'm getting sick of seeing him, to be quite honest with you, although I do understand the point about she's supposed to be a grieving mother out looking for her daughter, and instead she's out partying. But we're seeing that, and now all of a sudden the bombshell comes out and says that Lee Anthony isn't the father of the child, and I'm wondering if that's kind of inquirish, a national inquirish. I mean, when that kind of stuff comes out, why is this still happening like this? I know Nancy Grace is feeding off it and has a show every night about it, but isn't it going to end eventually, or should it end, and let's wait for the trial?
Well, and that's it's actually very interesting. I mean, this we had actually on Justice Interrupted last night. We had Pat Brown talking about this case, and she actually made an excellent point. And what she said was, this is just another case. This isn't really there's not really anything unusual about this case. Even the Optimum story's got more of a story behind it in terms of the medical miracle of being able to have 8 children. But this is not even a medical miracle, a crime, you know, surprise or anything of the sort. However, I think that there is this fascination because of, and I said this from the beginning and I still hold by this, is one is just the fact that a mom, a young mother, an attractive young woman who comes from a family who the mom and dad are still married, the dad was in law enforcement, someone who appears to have a relationship with her brother, a friendship with her brother of sorts. There's a drama to it that is interesting. And then when you see these, the sideshow, the sideshow is way more interesting to a lot of people than the real show. Look at Jose Baez, you've got his character involved crying at the hearings and he's the emotion, and then, the vigils and the pictures and the this and the that. And, and don't forget Leonard Padilla. So I think that they've got a cast of characters here on the side that has made it darn interesting.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it. It's darn interesting, and it's far from being over. Put your lawyer hat on for a second, not your DA hat. We have a tragic death in the entertainment industry today. In fact, I think she was just pronounced dead or taken off life support just before the show started. How important is it for anyone? Because you could step out in the street and get hit by a bus or ski into a tree or have a big boulder fall on top of you, and it's just so tragic.
That is a very tragic story. Here you have this, one day you don't know, ski accidents. It really makes you remind you of just how precious life is, and you can be perfectly healthy one minute in the hospital bed the next, and you start thinking, what do you do if tragedy strikes? And basically, every mom, every person should have four things, and that's a living trust, a pour over will, power of attorney for financial decisions, and advanced directive for health care. And this isn't like you need, necessarily top-of-the-line fancy stuff. There's lots of ways to do it very inexpensively. You can even do things in your own handwriting. And basically, you want to do something that, for living trust, in brief, is, something that tells you where your assets go when you die and who manages them. And that way, you don't want to have people have to make those decisions for you in the heat of tragedy and have to even deal with that. Then also being able to have a pour over will so that the things that don't go through the trust actually will be then poured over and will be handled and transferred into it if it wasn't even actually put over into it to begin with. And then, of course, one of the things that I like to talk about a lot is, and probably the most important, is an advanced directive for health care. And that allows somebody, and in a case like, Natasha would be the husband, to make the medical decisions for you if you can't make them yourself. Help prevent the Terry Scavo disaster, that happens for end-of-life decisions, decisions and not, prolonging life, and people won't have to make those heartbreaking, difficult decisions. And then, of course, there's the power of attorney decision for someone to be able to have the power of attorney to be able to do whatever financial things that need to be taken care of, should you die. But those are the things that need to be handled.
Absolutely. Her name is Robin Sachs. She's an ADA out of Los Angeles County. We call this segment Nothing But the Sachs. Her website is robinsachs.com. She's an author. She's a commentator. She's been on Nancy Grace. She's going to be on Dancing with the Stars, I think, coming up soon.
No. Oh, my God. You do not want to see that.
No. I'd watch it.
With Nightmares, I think, is what it was.
I would watch it. Maybe Drew.
Definitely not seen.
Anyway, Robin, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
We'll see you next week. Okay, bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Robin Sachs with our segment, Nothing But the Sachs. Remember, this is Scared Monkeys Radio. Our website is www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. There you can listen to the show live. You can pick up podcasts of past shows, daily commentaries, leave comments, do whatever you like. And, of course, the creme de la creme of all the blogs out there is scaredmonkeys.com for all your news, views, and interviews. I don't know what that means. Anyway, I'm Dana Pretzer. That's tonight's show. We'll see you again next week here on the Dana Pretzer Show. Good night.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.